This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. With President Donald Trump still being treated for COVID-19, an issue he had hoped to move past is now front and center again in this campaign. And Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris are set to debate Wednesday night. And that means the president's health will also take center stage at 9 o'clock Wednesday night at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. Let's talk about what's going on there. Joining Cincinnati Edition with a debate preview is University of Dayton political science assistant professor Dr. Christopher Devine. He's also the co-author, along with Kyle C. Kopko, of the book Do Running Mates Matter? Christopher, welcome back.
Michael, good to be on again. Thank you for having me.
You know, I was thinking back to when you were on previously to talk about your book, Do Running Mates Matter? And it felt like years ago. Apparently, it was just July.
Time moves slow.
Time does move slow. And, yeah. And we had you on to talk about this book that you had written with Kyle Kopko, I think ahead of Joe Biden selecting his running mate. We knew it would be a woman. Ultimately ended up being Kamala Harris. And so the title of the book is Do Running Mates Matter? And I should note, you're in academia, I'm in the media, and we in the media, we do something rather macabre that maybe people don't know about in general. And it's like we have this library of obituaries that are prepared to go in case someone dies. These obituaries are produced well in advance of someone actually dying so that when the tragic event should happen, these things are ready to go. And I'm reading New York Times media columnist Ben Smith tweeting out his own column where he talked to sources at the New York Times, the Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and at all three of those large papers. Top reporters were assigned to update Donald Trump's obituary as the president was hospitalized. And so the question, do running mates matter, suddenly is answered, yes, of course, because one of them could have become president as recently as this past weekend. So are the stakes higher for these two candidates taking the stage in Salt Lake City with this happening in the backdrop?
Yeah, the stakes are high. I think this just calls to people's attention the consequences of a vice presidential election. Of course, that's always paired together. You don't vote for them separately. We vote for them, on one ballot as running mates for president and vice president at the same time. Of course, our main conclusion from our book is that very few people really see that as a choice to elect a vice president. Yes, that comes along, but they're pretty much choosing a president. The reality, though, is that this just highlights that who you put in that position, it's more than just about competing for a state or trying to attract some other political group to vote a different way in the election. It really has consequences for the country, and even if there's not an issue of succession, even just in everyday operation of a White House, who's in power as vice president is consequential. We see Mike Pence, for instance, heading the coronavirus task force. We'll see what Kamala Harris's duties would be if she were vice president. But if we look for about the last 40 years or so, regardless of succession issues, we haven't had an instance of that. Still, vice presidents have been very consequential players in different presidential administrations.
Well, let's talk about vice presidential candidates as it relates to debates. And this is a really premier opportunity for the electorate to take these individuals in on their own and as they measure up against each other and how they might serve should they be called to take on the top role. It's usually an afterthought, but this is a unique year. This isn't, Ronald Reagan getting to make a joke at Walter Mondale's expense about his own age. It's not even John McCain, who, selected a controversial pick in Sarah Palin. With his advanced age, we've got two candidates, one an incumbent president and a challenger who's actually older. They're both in their 70s. Trump is 74 and Biden is 77, would be 78 if sworn in. These are two vice presidential candidates who might be closer to assuming those roles just based on statistics and demographics than any other. So is this the most important vice presidential debate we've ever seen?
Yeah, I think you put it the right way, Michael. This is an issue of probabilities. I wouldn't project anything about impending mortality for either presidential candidate. But the chances of something happening, given Donald Trump's current health condition and given Joe Biden's advanced age, it's more likely than in other recent elections that this could become an issue. I think it's really important with that in mind for both vice presidential candidates to show what kind of leaders they are and to show that they're up to the job. Mike Pence, of course, has been in that role for 4 years as vice president. He's taken on a lot of duties that would help to prepare him to become president if necessary. Kamala Harris, of course, doesn't have comparable experience in that regard in the White House, but she has a substantial political experience. Does that translate to her being really a credible potential president? She did not get the votes for that back in the primaries, but clearly Joe Biden made the calculation that she's someone who was ready to step in and take over as president if necessary, as he's said. So she has Joe Biden's vote of confidence. Will she have voters' confidence? That's something that we may get a better sense of depending on her performance in this debate.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're joined now by University of Dayton political science assistant professor Dr. Christopher Devine. He's also the co-author of the book, Do Running Mates Matter? And we're talking about Wednesday night's vice presidential debate. So I'm also curious of your thoughts about how the vice presidential candidates might have to play cleanup. It's not the first time that perhaps the first debate of three in a presidential series might go awry for one or even both candidates, and then the VP candidates come in and maybe play a little cleanup to reassure the electorate that the ticket is fine. But the first debate between President Trump and Joe Biden was widely viewed as a train wreck. It was very difficult to watch. The president was interrupting throughout, and then Joe Biden was getting angry as well. Very challenging to watch. Is there like a tougher task ahead for these two vice presidential candidates after the mess we saw last week?
It's a fascinating situation, as you're alluding to here. You know, okay, so there was substance in the first debate. There was some discussion of health care and, you know, the Supreme Court nomination process and some other issues. But it was so obscured by the back and forth, the personal attacks, the interruptions, all that stuff, that I'm not sure many people came away with a lot of information, at least not information that they had retained from that, which is something that presidential debates generally do. They actually do tend to increase information among voters. Now, do they sway how people vote? Generally not, but they inform people better. We didn't get a lot of that information the first time around. So to your point about cleanup, this vice presidential debate, among other things, is an opportunity for the candidates, the vice presidential candidates, to clarify what their ticket really stands for. What are their policy positions? Of course, anyone paying attention could already know that. You often hear people say, well, I want to hear the candidates talk about the issues. They're talking about the issues. It gets drowned out by other things sometimes. But this is a high profile opportunity for people to hear what Donald Trump and Joe Biden stand for. But probably at a lower decibel level, probably a more civil conversation. And so we might actually come away with a better sense of substance. I'm sure there still will be some personal attacks of one sort or another, or some, you know, elbows thrown. But I think we'll get more content out of this. Now, one of the tricks is that when you're talking about a vice presidential debate, they're just following the lead of the presidential candidate. You know, Joe Biden and Donald Trump can speak for themselves as far as what their policies are. A vice presidential candidate, that's not their job to speak for themselves. It's to reinforce the presidential candidate, to not stray off message, not challenge their policies, but to put the best version of those policies out there on behalf of the presidential candidate. So it's an interesting task. This is hopefully going to inform us a little better. But it's kind of secondhand. It's echoing at least the best versions of what the presidential candidates might be saying about their future administration or a second term for Donald Trump.
I think that's an interesting observation about the role of a vice president, particularly in a debate, that they're not speaking for themselves. They're reinforcing the messages of the guy on the top of the ticket or the woman, whatever the case may be. And this year it's two guys. And Donald Trump is somebody who has a unique style, and one that he is able to get away with certain messaging and behaviors that no one else in American political history has ever been able to pull off. He's someone who can tweet out a word in all caps and then do that repeatedly, as he has over the past couple of days. He's someone who can rail against precautions against the COVID-19 virus and then get the COVID-19 virus and not seem to even take it seriously at that point. Mike Pence is more of a standard politician. So is the task harder for somebody like Mike Pence when you're running with Donald Trump than it would be for Kamala Harris, who's running with a more traditional politician in Joe Biden?
Yeah. So Mike Pence, you know, I would say he is more conventional. Yeah. He's a debate that involves him. We would expect to be more similar to past debates that we've seen with Donald Trump in the room. It's just a different dynamic. He's more willing to interrupt or to go after someone in an extremely personal way, as he did regarding Hunter Biden and drug use in the last debate. I would not expect that kind of environment with Mike Pence being the one in the room, or for that matter, Kamala Harris. I think both of them know how to be aggressive in certain ways, but it would be within the normal boundaries of what we've seen in past debates. So Mike Pence, you know, I think he's always been meant to be a counter to Donald Trump. He's never been meant to be someone who is just Donald Trump light. I think part of picking him, the idea was to maybe reassure some people who are unsure about, particularly Republicans, about Donald Trump's temperament, his political style, someone who was meant to, I think Pence was meant to basically lower the temperature, which is already pretty high, again, with Donald Trump in the picture. So that's part of what Pence is going to be trying to do, I assume, here is to, you know, basically do a better job, frankly, of getting out the Trump campaign's message. I'm not sure how much of a campaign message came out of the first debate. There was a lot of, you know, style, Donald Trump style, if that's what attracts people, him being who he is, and maybe getting out some negatives about Joe Biden. But I'm not sure that I am sure it wasn't effective at getting across a campaign message that first debate. And Mike Pence, if he's anything, he's good at staying on message. And that's what I would expect. Whatever it is that the Trump campaign thinks is going to convince people to, whether that's mobilizing people from the party base, persuading people who are as yet undecided in this race, I think Mike Pence is going to be, you know, kind of your best messenger for the campaign, whatever they think is most effective. He's probably going to articulate it pretty well.
Both Mike Pence and Kamala Harris are effective communicators. Mike Pence was a radio host before going into the Congress, Kamala Harris a prosecutor. And Senator Harris also has more recent debate experience. She very notably scored some very sharp political points and surged in the polls at one point during the Democratic presidential primary at the expense of Joe Biden. So this should be interesting dynamic between these two as they get into a rhythm on Wednesday night. But with COVID being front and center again, and Mike Pence serving as the, I guess, so-called COVID czar of the White House task force, what kind of message is he going to be tasked with, since he was basically tasked with protecting a nation and then the very president got COVID and is basically coming back out with a message that it's not that big of a deal, don't be afraid of it?
Sure. So there are a couple ways of approaching this. One would be, you know, what should the message be? And we can all have our opinion on that. I think the best indicator of what to expect is to look at what the Trump campaign message has been at times, at least when that's broken through, like at the conventions. What message is Mike Pence going to be getting across about various issues? Well, let's look at how things were articulated thematically at the Republican convention. One thing is that, the COVID situation is getting better. Again, I'm not talking about what should be the message, just what should we expect? Certainly that seems to be from the Trump campaign. What's being expressed is that we're about to turn a corner, that a vaccine may be coming out before Election Day and that kind of thing. I guess Mike Pence will try to make an argument along those lines. I would expect him to focus a lot on the economy. That clearly is something that the Trump campaign has seen as a strength for them. Even after the pandemic hit, they're highlighting the recovery, the jobs that have come back since the beginning of that point. So I would expect to hear a lot of that from Mike Pence, and also to talk about what they often describe as law and order issues, talking about violence and trying to curb that under a Trump administration, or at least how it could get worse under a Biden-Harris administration. That, based on what we've seen in the past, I would expect those to be the messages that really come through from Mike Pence at this debate.
30 seconds, Christopher. Your book is called Do Running Mates Matter? So let me ask you, do running mate debates matter, particularly this year?
If presidential presidential debates don't influence the vote that much, I wouldn't expect vice presidential debates to matter that much. There's only one instance in which the vice presidential debate has gotten a higher viewership, a larger audience than the presidential debates. Do you want to take a guess, Mike, on what year that might have been? I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh my gosh! Whoa.
When people were tuning in to see how the VP candidate would
Sarah
perform.
Sarah Palin.
You got it. 2008. Yep.
I had to Josh Elstrofer.
I'm sorry, I put you on the spot.
That's all right. I appreciate that.
You passed the test.
Well, Dr. Christopher Devine, always a pleasure to have you. I hope you can come back again. Assistant Professor of Political Science at UD. Thanks again.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Michael. Thank you.
And we'll catch you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.